into month two, breaking new ground. It's exciting. We're glad you're here tonight. As always, we'd like to open up in prayer. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks and praise that we have this time carved out to be in your presence, to be in silence. And with that time, Lord, we'd pray that you would open our ears and our minds and our hearts to receive the blessing of the reading of your word and the meditation of our hearts. And may we have the ears to hear your still small voice. Thank you for welcoming us into your presence, where Psalm 139 says there's no place that we can go that we can possibly escape your presence. Yet it's up to us to carve out these times so that our awareness of your presence in our lives can be piqued. Bless this worship, O Lord. Amen. We invite you to be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. Our reading tonight comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." during the second reading, allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." during this silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention between you and God or some other understanding. You may also come to the kneeler as you're able to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hears his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." a final reading of our text tonight. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all on his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know his voice of the stranger. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they still didn't understand what he was trying to say. And so again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me or came before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They always say, or I've always heard it said, that if you ever get a chance to go over to Israel, the Bible just comes to life. And I'm a skeptic by nature, so I didn't actually believe that at first until I had the opportunity to go over there in 2011. And just to prove the point, on one of the days that we were touring, we stopped at this place called Tel Azika. Now, I guarantee you it's in the Bible, and I couldn't have guessed where it was. Can you? Any ideas? Old Testament, New Testament? Huh? Isaiah. No, not Isaiah. I won't keep you in suspense, because once I tell you where it is, you all will know of the story. So here we are, we get off the bus and we go up this Tel Azika. Now Tel in Israel is basically just an elevated geographical location. It can be as elevated as like 100 feet or a couple hundred feet. So it's kind of like a tel is either a hill or a mountain, but that's the terminology they use over there. So we go to the top of this Tel Azika, and my professor says, "Okay, gather around, sit down," and we all sit down. And he asks that question, "Guys, know where you're at?" And of course, me being the smart, witty person, I said, "Of course, we're on top of Tel Azika." He goes, "How is that put in context in the Bible?" I says, "That's why you're the professor." So he begins to open up the book, the Bible, and invites us to open it up. And he says, we're on this elevated position looking down over this valley. And he says, "Where you're at is you're looking over the Elon Valley." And I'm still not getting it. He goes, "Now I want you to just look out over the valley as I read this story to you." I'm like, "Okay, go ahead." And he starts reading about this Philistine named Goliath calling out the Israelites, challenging them, and the story of David coming out and taking on Goliath. You see, where we were sitting was on Tel Azika, was exactly where the Philistines had camped out. And in the Elon Valley where we were looking at, there's a stone marking the very place that David killed Goliath. And I say all that because in that moment, the Bible came to life. And now we move to tonight's text. The gatekeeper and the sheep. We were over there for 6 weeks on an archaeological excavation. And we were at Tel Gezer, which is just south of Jerusalem. It's an elevated position. It was a perfect place to build a city as a lookout, a southern post to look out and guard the way from the sea to Jerusalem. So if the enemies would come in, they would send messengers up to Jerusalem and say, you know, we're expecting an attack. And so every day we would have to carry our tools up to the top of this tell, and we would be excavating and everything, and it was drudgery, but it was exciting because we were uncovering stuff like a lot of broken pottery, because what they would do is they would raid a city, demolish it, tear it down, and use all the broken pottery as a footer to build up city walls again. And so we've been there probably 2 or 3 weeks, and something caught my attention out of the corner of my eye. And I looked over, and here comes this shepherd and 60 to 80 sheep. Now, we were on this hillside, and there was this, I don't even know what kind of grass. It was probably, you know, this tall. And we're in there, we're there between June and July, so we were... It wasn't green, it was all tan looking, like wilted up and stuff. And that was the most interesting 3 days, watching those sheep and how, like, they would take all that grass down to nothing. And they didn't miss anything. It looked like somebody took a mower. But what was interesting was the 80 sheep there and only one shepherd. And the shepherd would allow them to graze so far, and then he'd give them a command, and then they'd stop, and they'd start going back down the hill. And he'd come back up the next day, and they would follow his voice. Again, one of those times where the Bible just comes to life. It was so interesting to me that these sheep, 80 at least, knew the voice of a shepherd. Now, one of the young ladies that was on the site with us, she apparently never grew up in the country or anything, but she tried to get their attention because she wanted to pet one of the sheep. And I'm like, oh dear Lord. And so she would try to go and get close and call them in. And every time she would do that, they would run away from her because they didn't recognize the voice. Jesus is our shepherd. And my guess is when you hear his voice, that spirit of conviction, now whether you respond to it or not, that's on you, but when you hear his voice, you know it's his voice. And Jesus goes on to say that he is the gatekeeper. Now I want to paint a little picture of what that means. So over there, there's not a whole lot of trees. So in order to keep the sheep safe, they would actually build like a corral out of stone. They build this stone wall. And since there's not a lot of trees, there's no way to build a gate. But they would have this circle of stones, the stone wall, with an opening, just wide enough for maybe one or two sheep to get through. And a shepherd would sit there, and basically, after getting all the sheep inside, he would sit there and become the gate and protect the sheep from any danger. Animals, beasts, other shepherds. And so what Jesus is saying is that Jesus is claiming to be our gatekeeper. And he's claiming to be not only our gatekeeper, but the best gatekeeper, the best shepherd. Because he says a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And we know that's what he did. That he laid his life down for us so that, as the text says, we could have life and have it abundantly. And so we come tonight seeking to hear the shepherd's voice in the midst of the silence, in the reading of the word, maybe in the selection of songs. We come in this sacred time, this sacred worship space, this sacred moment. We come in our morning devotions or evening devotions, or in that silent long drive to work or to wherever. Sometimes we come with joy and expectation. Sometimes we come desperately seeking to hear the shepherd's voice. And Jesus promises, claims, and says that he is the good shepherd. He's claiming to be the one that offers his voice for all of us to be heard, to be loved, to be cared for, to be protected, to sustain us, redeem us, reclaim. There are so many ways that Jesus talks about that, utilizing the context of culture so that the people of his time would understand it. And so we might not be in the wilderness here, or the desert, or on a tell, but we do have the ability to receive that nourishment, especially when he took bread, blessed it, and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, in another way, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for you. Take and eat, for this is my body, broken for you. And for refreshment, when the supper was over, he takes the cup and blesses it and gives thanks. He gives thanks to be the good shepherd, the gatekeeper, the one who lays his life down. And says, take, drink, all of you, for this is my blood for the forgiveness of sins, poured out for you and for many, for those who hear my voice, take and drink. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would descend upon these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine and make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus. That as we partake, that we become fed by his own hands, fed by the shepherd. We would pray that we would be nourished, fulfilled, and empowered to hear the shepherd's voice. As we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask Kelly McKelvey to come up and serve with me, if that's okay. And I'd like to remind you that there's an offering basket at that end of the table. I guess at the foot of the cross, really, as an invitation to offer to God out of great thanksgiving for being a good shepherd. The table has been prepared. Come and receive nourishment. Thank you, God, for being our gatekeeper, for being our good, good shepherd, who lays down his life for us out of love, who whispers in those moments of desperation, of inspiration, of joy, who lifts us up, who protects us and nourishes us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let me see if I can put into modern day context the imagery that Jesus was trying to share. We sleep usually pretty good at night, thinking that the fire alarm or smoke detector will do its job even with a battery backup. Or if we're fortunate enough, turn on our alarm system, knowing that it'll protect us as we sleep at night. That's the modern context of what Jesus was trying to say. I would hope and pray that you would go from this place with the affirmation, with the assurance with the hope that Jesus is our gatekeeper, our protector, our provider, our sustainer. May you go in peace with that hope. In the name of Jesus, amen.